Welcome to another Carlo and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've had plenty of special guests, but come on, this is a very special guest, isn't it?
Very high caliber guest. In fact, I was just saying, thinking on the way in here, if people our era, which is like, I mean, what am I, 21? How old are you these days? 17?
22.
So people in our age, like the 45 to sort of 55, if you said this person's name, they would know exactly who we're talking
instantly.
About.
Well, the guy won a McGarry medal.
I know. Like, football royalty.
Without any further ado, welcome to the show, Grant Filkey, or should we say Grantley Filkey?
No, Grant, that'll be fine, and thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, now, first off, let's just, I mean, most of us guys know you played for West East, you played for Collingwood, you won the McGarry medal, you played in West East Premiership in 83, and you ended up with the Crows. But where did it all start?
It all started back in Loxton.
Yep.
I was very fortunate to have a fantastic school teacher called Guy Treadwell, who obviously must have realised I had some ability and really pushed me to participate and join state teams in the underage. So I was under 13s, under 14s, under 16s, under 17s at football level.
Mm-hmm.
And then whilst playing these, obviously got picked up or looked at by West Australia Footy Club. So they had a keen interest in me from about a 13-year-old. Right through and kept in contact with me, and I always asked them what I want to do in life, and I wanted to be a carpenter. So at about 15 and a half, they travelled to Loxton and said, listen, Grant, and spoke to my parents and said, there's an opportunity where we can give you an apprenticeship. We'd like you to come to Adelaide, play in the junior ranks with the opportunity of maybe doing better. So immediately took that up and at 16 came to Adelaide as an apprentice carpenter and playing for the West Adelaide Footy Club.
So when you came down then, I mean, we see young guys now getting drafted and going all around Australia, but I imagine the support that they have is a little bit different. So when you first came down, that must have been a big shift to come from Loxton coming down to Adelaide. At that's a young age, isn't it, to really make that change?
100%. I am, and I'll say this unequivocally, that homesickness is a terrible thing to have. And I certainly had it for those first 12 months. I think, a 15 or 16-year-old boy, you're so proud and you don't want to tell anyone your true emotions. But it was a very difficult time in my life. But within 12 months of getting down here and knowing people, the other thing, of course, was that Mum and Dad couldn't travel down. They had a farm. And in those days, Loxton to Adelaide was a very long way. It's not so long these days. But the support and so forth obviously wasn't there like it is today. But after that 12-month period, got to know people and so forth, and so that transition was a hell of a lot better. But I don't even think I'd put it through my children. I wouldn't let them go from Gawler to Adelaide as a 15- or 16-year-old. So nothing against Mum and Dad, but it was a big transition, yes.
Now, the Riverland has produced wonderful sports people over the years, especially back in that sort of time. Is it the same now? Like, I mean, are they still producing the same type of quality of, especially footballers? I mean, you can think of people that have come down from the Riverland and played high-level football, but is the competition up there just as strong now?
No, I don't believe it is. I think right through the country, the competition's dropped off a bit. I think that a lot of families moved to Adelaide because of job opportunities and so forth. And, of course, people aren't having as many children these days. We had six in our family, and probably up there they'll have the same type. You'll have two today. So, and we just lived for sport. We had nothing else. We had no computers. Every summer we played cricket, and every winter we played football. But it's a little bit different nowadays. I think the opportunities for young children, for young men are completely different, you know.
Just tell us a little bit about when did you make your debut for Westies, and what was league football like back in the early 80s?
It was tough. It made my debut as a 17-year-old, turned 17 in March, 18th of March of 79, and early April played my first game. Of course, it was a little easier with West Adelaide because it wasn't a great side in those days, so whether I would have done the same thing at the great Port Adelaide size is questionable. But and those days were tough. We had some fellas that did things that, of course, would never be accepted these days, but that was acceptable. It was tough and hard. It's been, the whole game's been obviously sanitised these days, and I'm not against that. I'm all for progress. all for progress. And I think the game these days is in good hands, and I love going to watch them. What I will say, I think we may have too many sides these days. I think the top 10 or 12 or 14 AFL sides every week is great to watch, as you can see when finals come. But round to round, maybe there's four or five sides where the players probably aren't as good as the top half of that.
Now, Westies, Neil Curley came on board, and you were only like seventh in 82, and then 83, all of a sudden you were arguably one of the best teams ever.
I think it's been recognised by Barry Robran and Russell Ebert that the 83 side is probably the best football side that ever got put on the park. We had a great side. We had a half-forward line that kicked 150 goals and a full-forward that kicked 100 goals himself. It was entertaining to watch. Great, fantastic side. And, of course, in those days, the turnover of players, we only used 24 players, which means you put your best side on the park every week. And I think even you go through finals these days, the people that use the least amount of players are normally the ones that go deep into finals.
And making the decision to leave Westies and go to Collingwood, again, people now would think, oh, we know Collingwood, we know all the AFL teams, we think of it differently. But back then, to make that move from the SAFL to the AFL, can you talk us through that? That one has been a very different choice than players face today.
Oh, hugely. Although, from about 86 onwards, we lost some great players, Bradleys, the Motleys, the Kernahans. There was a whole shift towards that AFL or VFL at that particular time, but it was still a great move. And I don't think, in hindsight, I truly understood there was a huge difference between VFL and SNFL at that stage. Probably the top 10 players at any SNFL side at that time would have walked into a VFL side, which probably shows we were good at the state of origin level, but the next 10 players at SNFL level were nowhere near as good as the next 10 players at the VFL.
So just touching on state of origin, I mean, we grew up with that and we loved it, and it's gone, but there's always talk about bringing it back. So what are your thoughts on that, and what were your experiences at the time?
I don't watch much rugby, but when I watched it at state of origin every year, and it saddens me to think that the football couldn't have done the same thing. I think the little bit of difference is that the players are made available at state of origin level in the rugby, unequivocally, but they're not in football, at football level, so it doesn't command the same respect. It's disappointing because in that era, I remember playing in one of those games and getting stuck down at West Beach. We couldn't get to the Oval because it was car to car. It was banked up. We couldn't get in.
What was it like playing state of origin with the Johnny Plattons and all these types of players? How would you compare it, say, to that premiership team with Westies in 83, the experience of playing with those types of players?
It was fantastic. You know, I think I played seven or eight state of origins. Most of them, all of them, was on the bench because we had so many great players. But to be part of those, teams, to be playing with the best players that ever played for South Australia, you didn't even believe you were there, but it didn't seem real. It was just and to win some of those. I think we won two against Victoria in those days was just unbelievable.
And then you had if I look at your career and I have today, like looking through Wikipedia, which is a great thing, it's almost like you've done it all in football. But then you had the opportunity to play with the Adelaide Crows when they first started. So again, that was another step that not everyone gets to experience, being an inaugural player in that team.
Yep, it was fantastic. First 2 years playing for the Crows. Probably one of the reasons was our expectance to perform wasn't probably as high as it is today. We were a new side, plenty of fun. But once again, almost playing with the state of origin side. But all that aside, I think me as an individual knew where I stood in the rung of players and my peers. I think Neil Curley said it best of me. He said, Grant, you were never one of the best players that I ever coached, but every ounce of ability you had in your body, you used to the best of your ability, which I think is a compliment. But I never... seeing myself as good as the Aishas and the Bradleys. I was two or three rungs behind them, but I loved playing with them and admired the way they played.
Look, you couldn't be too bad, mate. You got a McGarry medal. Now, tell me, what was that experience like being named the McGarry medal?
Well, it was absolutely fantastic. That particular year, and I soon worked out that I believe my skills weren't quite as good as some of those really good players. So the only way I could match it, not very rarely beat them, but I could match it, was to train twice as hard as they did. So I trained twice a day. And that enabled me to have second, third and fourth efforts at the same intensity as my first efforts. And if those really good players come off the game a bit, which they did every now and then I was able to match them. That particular year, I didn't have one injury. I remember the harder I trained, the fitter I got, and the better I played. And it was just everything fell into place. I had some other good years, but were never as good as that because I was just injury-free and gained confidence and had a... In that particular year, it was coached by Jack Hale, who just gave me free rein to do anything.
What were your expectations going to the McGarry Medal? I mean, no one goes there expecting to win, but were you having an expectation to be up there?
We had a really good year. We finished third that year, and three of us had really good years. There was Mark Bicken, myself, and another lad, Desi Herbert. We had fantastic years. We all averaged 30 oppositions a game. So I wasn't really thinking about the McGarry medal, but I remember going to the McGarry medal and Peter Motley was hot favourite. And then suddenly the word got around from the umpires that Grant Filkey might be a really, really good chance. So I went there thinking, going there for the night thinking, hell, I might be a show here if what the umpires are saying is correct because they're the ones that pick the votes.
If we think about what you've been talking about today, I mean, your football career, you had the opportunity to play for Westies and then go back to Westies after, win premierships, win McGarry medal, play in the VFL back in the day, and then play in the AFL with the Crows. Is there, looking back now, is there anything that you would have done differently or anything that you thought, I wish I had that opportunity or could have done this a little bit differently?
I try and tell, I've stepped aside from football for many years and just watched it, and but the last couple of years I've gone to South Gawler and been assistant coach with Bailey Zobel, who's from the school here. And my only words to these young lads is that, and you would know this, that time passes very quickly. From when you start your career, when you finish, you think it's a lifetime. It's not, but within an instant, it changes. So all I try and impress on people and myself is every time you hit the track, just try and do your best because it slips away from you so quickly. I was very lucky. I was very lucky to come across in my life some wonderful people who mentored me. And I've also lucky to be relatively injury-free over that period of time. And I think that's a great asset for longevity in anything you do.
I just wanted to say I have had an opportunity to work with your boys, and it's probably more Bailey than Callum, but they're both wonderful gentlemen, young gentlemen, and seem like really switched on kids. So you must have done a good job being a dad as well.
I spoke to someone about this yesterday. My father had wonderful values in life, I believe, and the values was always do your best, be fair. And always when you go and meet anyone, whether they be small or tall, look them in the eye, shake their hand and always say good day to them. So that's a value that I've passed on to my boys. I'm really proud of my boys and proud of my whole family. Obviously, like every family, you have your ups and downs or whatever, but generally I'm very proud of them. And they went to a great school, of course, and have been well educated at this school. And I'm looking towards their future and following what they do in life.
Now, Grant, I know you said you started off as a carpenter, and then you're working for Ray White for a while. What are you doing now work-wise?
Working at First National and Gawler. I worked in the sporting industry. I was lucky enough to be asked by Rodney Robin to open a sports store with him back in when I was 21 and did that for 20 years.
You had a place down at Arndale, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sports Lover, they called it Sports Lover. 20 but years.
He had one at Elizabeth as well, and he sold that to Tom Zorich.
Tom Zorich, that's right.
And became Sports Power.
Correct, that's correct. Yeah, Rodney started a dynasty in sports stores, really had one and finished up with 13, I think, at one particular stage. Obviously, he moved out and went to Queensland and run some high-rise apartments. But lucky enough to get me involved in that. Really, really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much, Gwan. Although, growing up, I always thought of you as Gwantley, but I've seen you everywhere now. It's Gwant. So, but thank you very much. Please come back on our show down the track again. That's been fantastic. So ends another Colour and Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.